I would like to welcome everyone to the meeting. Hopefully everyone can hear me clearly. Everyone should ensure their mobile telephones are turned off or switched to silent, and the use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. Members of the public should not speak during the meeting and may be temporarily excluded for discussion of the in-committee items. Members of the public and press must refrain from using the instant messaging facilities during the meeting, and anyone found to be doing so will be given a warning. Failing to adhere to the guidelines for a second time will result in being removed from the meeting. I will remind members of their obligations under the Council's Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interests which they have in any items of business before the committee today. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the chamber or hang up from the call for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. You will then be invited back to join the meeting once the discussion on the item has ended. The proceedings of the meeting will be audio and video recorded, except where council is considering any exempt matters. The recording equipment is linked to a microphone system on the computer, so please ensure your microphone is switched on before speaking. Members are reminded that they are personally responsible for any comments they make at the meeting. Please ensure if you wish to speak on an item, either in the chamber or via Teams, you use the chat facilities to indicate your wish to speak, and I will bring members in as listed. On that item, I just want to ask folks within council and obviously online if they can use the online system for any proposals or seconders. It just makes it easier for me to look at on the screen. Thanks. I would remind members to keep their instant messages to the following letters. Type Q if you wish to ask for a question, or C for a comment. Type P if you wish to propose. Type S if you wish to second. Please refrain from making any other comments using the instant messaging. If you need to leave the meeting early, please indicate via chat facility so that we are aware that this is an active decision and does not indicate connectivity problems. Thank you. Okay. Do we have any apologies?
Councillor McKevitt.
Okay.
Councillor Finnegan.
Thank you.
And Chair, one for Councillor Councillor Owens, or please as well.
Okay.
I'm actually running late. Just
no problem, Councillor Lewis. Thank you. Can I go over now? Any declarations of interest?
None, Chair.
Okay, take that as none. Okay, we are actions arising on Active Healthy Committee meeting held on the 20th of June 2022. For expedience, I will go from sheet 1 to 11. Page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4. Questioner for Councillor Lewis.
Thank you, Chair. It was just to get an update if we've received a reply yet on the Ukrainian assistance payments.
Yes, Chair, at the last meeting it was agreed we would issue correspondence to the Executive Office, and that correspondence has been dispatched, actioned and gone. No response from the Executive Office as yet.
That's fine. Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Murray. Sorry, you're proposing. Sorry, Barra.
I've just
questioner for Gareth Sharvin.
Yeah, Chair, Janine probably can guess the one I'm going to ask about. It's the leasing of council land, expression of interest at Clock Road. Chair, the only reason why I raise this is the the group that's expressed an interest is currently looking for external funding to construct what they plan for the site. And Janine may be aware that they have put a plan application in for it to get ahead of it. Now, they might not get the site at the end of the process, but the sooner that we start the assessment and see if they have met the criteria, the better. So if we could just sort of prioritize that, and I know the officer that's involved is currently not available, but if we can identify someone that can do that assessment, be much appreciated.
Okay. I think I was at page 4. I'm not sure, but we'll go back. Page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8, page 9, page 10, page 11. And I have Councillor Barramura and Leanne McAvoy second it. Thank you. Okay. Item 4, presentation from May Murray Foundation. I'd like to take this opportunity to welcome Alex Crawford and Kyle Locke for a discussion and explanation on the inclusiveness on beach accessibility.
Thank you, Chair. I'll just bring up the presentation. Can everyone see that okay?
Yep.
Can you? Yep, great, okay. Good evening, everyone, and thank you for inviting us along this evening to talk about inclusive beaches. My name is Alex Crawford. I'm the chair and founder of May Murray Foundation, an inclusive charity that I set up back in 2016 as a result of my own personal lived experience. And I have Kylie Locke, our Chief Executive, with me here tonight. And we'd be delighted to take any questions at the end of this short presentation. So we're a lived experience led organisation now with 1300 families as members across Northern Ireland. And we have a focus on creating inclusive environments. Inclusive beaches is obviously what we're here to talk about tonight. An inclusive beach is an environment that is planned around including everyone of all ages and abilities together. We look at access, parking, connectivity, toileting arrangements, lifting and handling, and participation. So it's not just about beach wheelchairs or equipment, it's about the whole infrastructure and really supporting everyone to take part. Now, it's important to note that whilst the goal is to create an environment for everyone, all ages and abilities, it's not every beach that is actually suitable to achieve inclusive beach status. So some of the smaller villages and towns, this won't be achievable for various reasons. Following a review of beaches in the Newry, Mourne and Down area, we looked at Murlough, Caliph, Newcastle, Ballyhornan, Torella and Cranfield. We identified Cranfield as being the most easily adapted into an inclusive beach. So Cranfield was launched as Newry, Mourne and Down's first inclusive beach back in 2017. And it's going very well, and there's been especially a great impact this year. We've linked with Swim Ulster to bring open water swimming for all abilities to Northern Ireland. It's a unique project that hasn't happened anywhere else in the province. And the feedback has been fantastic, both chair users and non-chair users in swimming together. And several families have told us that it really has been the best day of their lives taking part at Cranfield. So just to give you a little bit of the impact of an inclusive beach. We are keen to establish a second beach in Newry, Mourne and Down, and we've identified Newcastle as being the next most easily developed option. And it's a beach that's requested frequently by both visitors and residents, and one that we feel is easily achievable. Thereafter, Torella would be the next beach with potential, but we're going to focus on Newcastle tonight. So in consultation with council officers, we've identified an area at Downs Road car park, public toilet area, as a preferred option to locate an inclusive beach infrastructure. So we would need storage space to house equipment of approximately 20 square metres. We would need toilets that would include a changing places toilet. So that's a toilet that's larger than a standard disabled toilet and also includes lifting and handling and hoisting equipment and various other bits and pieces. And that really would be an essential element. It would also be beneficial to place it in this area because obviously there's the new park or the upgraded park in the area, which has benefits from a wheelchair swing. And in one of our recent studies, we found that almost half of children who use a wheelchair swing also need a change in places toilet. So there would be other benefits to developing the toilet block in this site. Accessible parking bays and drop-off. We would have to review the parking in the area to make sure that there's sufficient parking specifically for this project so that it's stress-free when people do arrive to use the equipment. Council would need to keep just conscious that there would need to be an annual review of sand and rock movement in the area. The existing ramp onto Newcastle Beach is good, but we would just need to be conscious of always keeping the sand clear, you know, at the bottom where rocks may gather. And importantly, council need to be aware of the staffing resource that this project would need. It's really quite a complex project with high liability, and the project really benefits from having consistent staff that can grow their knowledge base every year. So it's really not suited to seasonal staff. In terms of Maymurray Foundation support, then, what we can offer council is beach mobility equipment, subject to us obviously securing grant funding. Equipment servicing and repairs, which is a significant outlay annually, which we would cover. The coordination of risk processes and procedures, staff training, a booking system, and we'd also be keen to include an inclusive activity programme annually at Newcastle, which would need to be subject to some funding by council. So the creation of a second inclusive beach in Newry-Moran and Down would be a huge achievement and a great opportunity to build on the unique impact already being made at Cranfield. So I'm sorry that was a very quick presentation. I would thank you for your time and happy to take any questions.
Hi, thank you very much. It was very informative. I think it's an excellent idea. It's great to have as many folks access those facilities. I see Councillor Lewis, you have a question there. Go ahead.
Thank you, Chair. It was just to thank the foundation and indeed staff for the work that's went in to this. There's a lot of people in the district and particularly around the Newcastle area that will be looking forward to seeing that it's done on the upper opportunities that this would bring would be immense to ensure that the beach is open and accessible to all people within the district. And it was just to sort of get some information on what the timescale for this would be.
Well, I mean, I'll hand over to my colleague Kylie just after I make the comment that we would really be starting from the beginning in terms of sourcing equipment. And so that would mean securing funding. So I'll hand over to Kylie and see what she thinks is achievable potentially in terms of the funding of the equipment. And then obviously it would be back to council officers to give us some advice in terms of when the infrastructure would be in place.
Yes, funding can take, I would usually say, up to a year for us to achieve from the point of being told, let's go for this, until we actually receive the funding. The equipment itself can take another 4 or 5 months to arrive. We've actually put an order in January and we're still waiting for a piece of equipment to come from America. So just to give you an insight into this is not going to happen tomorrow. But before really we can commit to applying for funding, because that takes it's a lot of time and a small charity's resources to actually make that application. The other things that Alex mentioned there, the staffing commitment, the change in places, effectively council's commitments would need to be in place before we could commit to looking for funding.
Sorry, Paul, did you want to come in there?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. For the Councillor Lewis question, we do plan to bring a report back to next month's committee to maybe help outline some of those timelines. But things like planning permission, council commitment and those sort of things for the sort of thing, first and foremost, is probably the start point, I think. But yeah, so a planning application, et cetera, will be the usual process. But yeah, we're going to bring a report back to September committee.
That's brilliant, Paul. Thank you very much. Okay. You okay there, Councillor Lewis, with that?
I am, yes. That's grand. So, thank you, everybody. Thank you.
Okay. Councillor Murrah, do you want a wee question there?
Yeah, just briefly, and Paul just came in on it there at the end, but just to commend the Foundation and Alex, thanks a million for your presentation. Obviously, it's been discussed at length at the Acton Healthy Communities Committee over the past couple of years. I know my colleague Valerie Hart was very passionate about not only access onto the beach for all, but then when wheelchair users were on the beach, changing facilities and toilet and issues and all that there. So it's really it's great to hear from the experts on it. And I was going to propose that a paper be brought to Acton Healthy Community. So thankfully Paul has said that that's going to take place. And you know, the sooner we can get a coordinated approach to this. I'm not saying it doesn't exist already, but a more coordinated approach to it to get all our beaches up to spec on it, the better. So look, thanks again.
Okay, Barth, thank you very much. Councillor Sharvin.
Yeah, thanks, Chair, and thank you for the presentation. I suppose, you know, from my perspective, I have had mobility issues for the last couple of years, and thankfully it is improving. But I certainly have firsthand experienced the challenges of even getting onto some of our beaches, more locally at Caliph and Ballyhornan, more primarily for me. But the question that I had, I'm probably being a bit parochial here, I'm just trying to understand why Newcastle. So you had mentioned Trail and Ballyhornan, and the only thing that I can sort of think of that would give Newcastle the one above those is that the toilet space is closer to the beach than Ballyhornan, which, you know, you need to go up a bit of a footpath and a road to get to. At Trail, there's not really a facility there to facilitate that. So why Newcastle, why not Ballyhorn Trail, where, you know, you're looking for a balance across the district that would accommodate, because Cranfield and Newcastle's, you know, only 18 miles, whereas if you went to Trail and you went even to Ballyhornan, where it's 40 miles of a difference, you know, you're asking families from the Lochiel side to travel to Newcastle or Cranfield, whereas they could have it locally. But I know our officers have been working with Outdoor Recreation Northern Ireland about accessibility to all of our beaches, and the work that yous are recommending for Newcastle and the work that Orney are doing will complement one another in making everything accessible. But I was just trying to get an understanding of how we came with Newcastle and not the other beaches.
No problem. I'll just pick up on that. So I suppose the first thing to say is that we had no inclusive beaches in Northern Ireland at all until we created this model. No one else, Outdoor Northern Ireland included, has created an inclusive beach, nor does any other organisation have the experience of creating one and operating one. We now have 5 inclusive beaches that we are operating this summer. So we have significant experience of the challenges both on the ground and in working with our partner beach operators. To answer your sort of specific questions around, say, Ballyhornan versus Newcastle, one of the key things when families like mine are leaving home, particularly if you're an electric wheelchair user, which my daughter is, you're really concerned about having a stressful journey and being able to stop a wheelchair accessible vehicle, which, you know, is a larger vehicle, quite often ramped. If you're disembarking one of those vehicles in an electric wheelchair, you can't simply bump up a curb, it's not an option for you. So things like parking infrastructure and ensuring that you can actually get in and get parked, that's really, really key. And the car park to begin with at Ballyhornan is very small. There's very little opportunity there to create spaces specifically for this project. And as busy, I'm not dreadfully familiar with the area, but when we visited, local people were saying that on busy days, that road approaching Ballyhornan car park as well, they may be parked up one side of that. So if you consider then that the toilet block is around that road, which has no footpath, you know, all of a sudden you have a significant safety issue for power chair users getting out of their car and moving between the car park and the toilet. That's before you even look at the beach. So that's one of the main reasons. Also, the existing incline or decline at Ballyhornan wouldn't be suitable. So there would need to be significant investment in the actual approach onto the beach as well. In terms of Torella, again, there is a car park there, but would need a lot of work. There's an existing toilet block, again, which would need replaced. There is, it does have the benefit of an existing building on the beach on one hand that may have the advantage of some staff being positioned there or may have the advantage of storage, but it's not actually accessible from the car park. So straight away, there's no connectivity there, which creates, again, an issue at Torella and huge investment needed. In terms of some of the smaller beaches, what we have been doing at May Murray Foundation, I should just maybe mention that we were commissioned last year to write guidance on this topic for the rest of the UK. So we are being held in high regard in terms of how we've developed the model. And as part of that model, in addition to writing inclusive beach guidance for the rest of the UK, we are this summer piloting all-terrain wheelchair loan scheme, which is different to the inclusive beach model, but what it would allow is for a chair or perhaps two chairs to be positioned within smaller communities, working with local community groups as opposed to council. And that's something that we see may be achievable for the likes of Ballyhornan or Caliph, but not in terms of the inclusive beach structure, because you would really be looking at new footpaths, new connectivity. You know, it would just would be huge, huge job. So does that make sense in terms of the Ballyhornan infrastructure? Is there anything you want to come back
no, to be on there? It's actually really insightful of the challenges and what is required to bring them up to a standard. And certainly from my perspective as a councillor, what I would need to do to make our beaches even more inclusive. But the reason why I asked that is I was aware that some families did use some of your equipment at Torella even a couple of days ago. They had one of your chairs and they reported back how fantastic it was to have it. So even that loan scheme of a chair, two chairs at smaller beaches or even Trail and Ballyhornan certainly would be good. So thank you for your response.
Yeah, if I could just quickly comment there, if we're okay for time. What we discovered, particularly during the pandemic, when our families were even more isolated, was that it would be very beneficial to be able to lend some chairs directly to families. So that's what urged us to create our direct resource library loan scheme during the pandemic. So we do lend chairs directly to families. We've also recently, because of the requests at Newcastle, they've been significant. We're now currently working with the YMCA, and we have a, if you like, a resource library chair positioned locally so that people wouldn't have to come to Larne and pick it up. So it's an interim measure to allow families to go pick up the chair locally and take that chair to Torella or wherever. Now, it's down then for families to risk assess and decide themselves, obviously, if they need a change in toilet, change in places toilet or what else they need. But that's, if you like, a complementary service that we run alongside the inclusive beach model, and we're very keen not to dilute the inclusive beach model, because to us inclusion is about everyone, not 80% or 90%. It's about always staying under review and including everyone, and the minute you see a barrier we try to address it. So hopefully that's helpful.
That's brilliant. Thanks. Thank you very much. Okay, Councillor Sharvin. Councillor David Lee Surgeoner, have I got that correct?
Sure did.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Alex, for the amazing presentation statement. I want to welcome this in Newcastle, especially Changing Toys representative Christine McClements and I have been working together to get more Changing Places toilets in Newry Moore and Down. So I welcome this development. My question is slightly unrelated to that. I was just wondering, are you okay for us to post and promote your services, like your equipment library, especially your amazing, highly well thought of all-terrain wheelchair that's at your YMCA?
Yeah, I'll just throw over to Kylie on this because she'll have a hand on the pulse of just how busy that is. At the minute, we're conscious that there's only one chair and we are allowing people to take it out for a few days or longer at a time. So Kylie, can you just comment there on how popular that is at the minute and availability?
Yeah, it's been busy. Thankfully, most people have got their holiday dates in. So anyone who was maybe going for a week or so, we've been able to accommodate most people, which is great news. The good news about that is it's most likely going to continue off season, which is quite unique because the inclusive beaches finish at the end of the bathing season. So it's great that that provision will continue. In terms of promotion, because there is limited capacity, we are limiting and we are trying to limit the PR for that because we have advertised it through our membership, which has kept it quite busy. And there's obviously people who have picked up that it's there. So if anyone is going to promote anything, the resources at Cranfield would be where we would really like that because we've had loads of interest at our events, etc. But it's difficult for us to get the word out as such a small organisation that this is actually a resource that's there every day and it's free of charge. So if there's any possibility of some more assistance in the PR of that, that's where we would ask it to be.
Yeah, absolutely. Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Okay. Councillor McAteer.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. And thank you, Alex and Kayleigh, for bringing this very worthy issue to us tonight. And it certainly has, I suppose, sparked something off in us that, especially after the good weather there, the fact is that we should be trying to encourage as many people from as wider section of the community, disabled and otherwise, to come to the beach and to the beaches. And I know you could end up with basically a list here of complaints about why aren't you coming here, there and everywhere. And I would throw Warm Point Beach into the mix as being the main, I suppose, access for people from Warm Point right through to Newry, et cetera, that hinterland. But it also it just struck something with me that I spotted recently, I think it was somewhere down south, possibly Bray, or Dunleary, where they had been very innovative in putting a wheelchair access right onto the water's edge. That was done by some like a rollout resin type of pathway. And it struck me as something that our council should be very much looking at. Obviously, it'd be used only during the summertime. But I just thought it was so thoughtful. And it would mean such a difference for people to be able to get right down to the water's edge. And I know what you're talking there about the facilities that should be available to people as well. But I just said that this is, you bringing this tonight has sparked that off me. And I would ask maybe that our officer would take a look at that as well to enhance all these different services for the less abled. Thank you for that.
Thank you very much. If I could just maybe comment on that, we have temporary matting that we bought and that we have based some at Cranfield. So when we have event days at Cranfield, we would literally link the walkway to the base of the ramp at Cranfield so people can get right down onto the beach, because there will be people that can't transfer out into beach wheelchairs and they want to remain in their own home chair, or people with sight loss as well find the matting really helpful with the different textures underfoot. So that's something we do have. It's been challenging in Northern Ireland because quite often these mats, you see them more commonly, I suppose, in other European beaches where maybe the tide's not coming in and the sand movement isn't as as radical as ours is. So we've looked at some wooden walkways that have been put on other beaches here in Northern Ireland that really don't work because of the strength of the sand movement. So we've been using our temporary matting. There is another more permanent matting that's recently, as you say, being used in the south of England. And that's something that we are looking into at the minute. And we're planning to get some of that to actually trial it out to see if some beaches, some of the smaller beaches, might be able to have that deployed more permanently. At the minute, the temporary matting has to go out during the day and back in at night and back out again. We're also sort of conscious, many councils are telling us about antisocial behaviour and about these things being set on fire, and we need to be conscious of that as well because it is very costly. So I would say that's something that we're working on at the minute. So watch this space and we will certainly come back to you. And with regard to Warren Point, the architect that's working on the public realm development there has been in contact with us and we are engaged with them to see what is possible at Warren Point. But it was really, it was limited in terms of what they could do. They were really talking about some sort of walkway, but we were sort of urging caution, just to be cautious of providing a part solution, with which then may lead to complaints, you know, if there isn't the whole solution. So that's something that we're conscious of that's going on in the background. So we will be coming back with hopefully more permanent walkway options, but it's just a challenge with the sand movement in Northern Ireland.
Okay, thank you, Chair, for that. Thank you.
Thank you.
That, Amin, has been very insightful. I think there's a lot to take away on that, and it's a brilliant organisation and charity that you're running. Obviously, council will continue to liaise with yourselves and likewise. Alex and Kylie, thank you very much for coming in and give us a great insight as to the services you're providing, and hopefully we'll see you sooner rather than later.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, everyone. Bye.
Thank you. Bye. Thank you. Okay, on to item five, the temporary gates access for pedestrian route to the windmill field from Saintfield to community centre site.
Yes, Chair, that's me. Members, we have a request and from Saintfield Development Association to consider providing approval for the installation of a temporary gate, which will provide them with access through the windmill field site. Members are aware that we would work closely with both Saintfield Development Trust and Community Trust on the operation of the community centre and the 3G pitch, and the council has recently agreed an easement in relation to that site. So we're seeking approval tonight to give the group permission to proceed with the erection of a temporary gate. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, just before I go on to proposal and second, is any questions at all? Councillor Andrews, you have a comment?
Yes, it's more or less welcome the recommendations that's outlined in the paper. And I know the Windmill Road in Saintfield is a very twisty, narrow road. And, as I say, it's just there'll be issues there with safety and congestion and all. So I'm happy enough to support the recommendation that we go ahead and grant the SDA and all and the SET much needed permission to use the from the community centre into the field as an access point. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Andrews. We have proposal there from Councillor Lee Surgener and seconded by Councillor Sharvin. Okay, next, item six, financial assistance report.
Yes, Chair, members, the report details the outcome of the assessments relating to the revenue themes that went out in call three, and that's community events and the DFIB access as well. We'll have reports coming back next month for the capital spend and financial assistance. You can see from the report there was a total of 131 applications across the two themes, and we're seeking approval to fund the groups as per the appendices included within your pack. Happy to take any questions, Chair.
Thank you very much. Councillor Sharvin.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. And it's good to see that the all successful Christmas illuminations and events grants are fully getting allocation monies. Chair, whenever we consider the defibrillators, it's a different scenario that only 9 of the 31 that successfully completed every stage of the application is being awarded a financial contribution to install a defibrillator. And this was on the back of also Councillor Taylor's motion of highlighting the need for defibrillators across our district. Chair, it's a bit concerning to see how little of investment that we're planning to put in. So, Chair, my proposal would be that we would seek to identify the additional £30,000 and £21.26p, to be precise, for the all successful defibrillator applications to be granted. Because if you think of it, any of those 20 two that aren't getting financial assistance, if we were to give it, it could potentially save a life. And that's worth more than finding £30,000. So, Chair, my proposal would be to accept the Christmas illuminations and the events, but to identify the shortfall in the defibrillator funding to award all successful applications.
Okay. Councillor Sharvin. Michael?
Yep, thank you, Chair. Yeah, that's okay. We'll have a look around the budgets and see what can be done. And if we're able to find the money, we'll bring a report back, Chair.
Thank you very much.
Formally second that, Chair. Just formally second that proposal.
Okay, that item has been proposed by Councillor Sharvin and seconded by Councillor Moore. Okay, moving on to item 7, page 4, local action plan.
Yes, Chair. Apologies first off. The date on the report in section 1.1 should read the PACE 4 partnership met on the 19th of May. So the attachment is the report from that meeting in May. As members are aware, we would bring the report after it's been considered and approved by PACE 4. So we're seeking approval for the recommendations contained within the 19th of May meeting. I would also, Chair, update members on any issues that are arising in recent meetings in relation to PACE 4. So I'm doing that to inform you there has been some discussion of PACE 4 around the Derrybeg BMX track, and we have gone out for additional community consultation on the back of some concerns raised and brought a report back to the PACE 4 partnership. They have considered that consultation and were in talks with SEUPB, who are the funding body for that, trying, in summary, Chair, to look at a review of feasibility around the location of that project. There's no decisions made as yet, and we will keep the committee fully informed. So tonight we're seeking approval for the minutes that are contained within your appendix.
Thank you very much. I see, Councillor Andrews, you have a comment?
No, it's just more or less, it's actually chaired the PACE 4 meeting that evening, and I'm happy to endorse the contents of the papers that are before us this evening. Even though I'm not a member of the committee, I just thought as chair of PACE 4 that I would endorse what's been presented here this evening. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Councillor Andrews. Apologies there, Councillor Moore. I was aware that Councillor Andrews wasn't sitting on this, so apologies for that, Barry. Go ahead, you have a question or a comment?
I'm over in Spain here. I missed a wee bit of what Janine was saying there, but look at just to welcome the urban sports track and the progress that's being made on that through the PACE money, and that it's going to be a massive boost to the Newry area without doubt. And there's been a lot of work done down through the years in looking for a BMX track, and if we can get skateboarding in along with it and the like of that. You could see a future Olympian maybe coming out in Newry or South Armagh or South Down in the years to come. So I think it's really exciting. And the one thing from our party's point of view, Chair, if we could insist that there will be full public consultation with the community groups in and around the location of this project, we think that that's going to be a key component to it. Okay, Gordon Morgan.
No problem. Thank you very much, Barra. Is that noted then, that it's obviously all community consultation?
Yes, Chair, we can make that recommendation to the PACE 4 partnership because ultimately it's their project, but we'll do that immediately after these minutes are ratified.
Okay, I have a proposal from Gareth Sharvin and Councillor McAvoy second. Thank you very much. Okay, we are item 8, the District Electoral Area DEA Forums update.
Yes, Chair, members, your monthly report on the DEAs, and this evening we're looking for approval and action sheets for Downpatrick, Newry, Slieve Croob and Crotleith. Thank you.
Okay, looking for a proposer and seconder, please. Okay, a proposer from Councillor McAteer and seconder for Councillor Sharvin. Sorry, Councillor Lee Surgeon, I missed that. We have to go with it. Councillor Lee Surgeon then second it. Sorry, Gareth, too slow. Okay, on to item 9, and it's Community Coordination Hub update.
Yes, Chair, again, another monthly report for members, our Community Coordination Hub, and we're seeking approval for the actions contained within the appendix. Happy to take any questions. Thank you.
Okay, any questions at all? Nope. Okay, well, I'm just looking for a proposal and a seconder. And that's from Councillor McAvoy, proposal. And Councillor O'Hare, thank you very much. Okay, on to item 10, ship sanitation inspection charges.
Thank you, Chair. On occasion, we have to carry out inspections and issue certificates for ship sanitation exemption and control certificates. And more in point, they're more commonly known as DRATN certificates. We're members of the Association of Port Health Authorities. So they set out each year what the scale of charges for a standard charging regime. So we're just looking committee approval to apply those charges as per the report.
Okay, Adam Tanna, any questions or comments? Okay, I'm looking for a proposer and seconder, please. Councillor McAteer proposes. I am happy to second that. Oh, see? Yeah, no, see? Okay, we come to the end committee items. Oh, I missed that one. Sorry, apologies. Request of support from Keep Northern Ireland Beautiful, and in the bid for funding for Climate and Clever Communities Programme.
Thanks, Chair. As the report says, we've had a request from Keep Northern Ireland Beautiful. They're making a bid to the Shared Prosperity Fund for the Climate Clever Communities Programme. So it's to allow community-led climate action. They're in Northern Ireland, they're looking at 4 exemplar areas. Ourselves here are in Newry, Lisburn, Strabane and Omagh. So they're asking for support. They're not asking for financial support, but they're asking us to pledge support and if needed, provide a letter of support. They won't require financial support. So just looking for approval to voice that support for their bid.
Okay. Councillor Sharvin's a question there.
Yeah, Chair, and Owen, it may have been the project that identified, but I see Newry, Lisburn, Strabane and Omagh has been mentioned. Is it the Keep Northern Ireland Beautiful that identified those sites? Because one, I'm thinking again, Procula in my own area, but is there none at Tarda for Ballycastle, Glen Armside? It all seems down this side of the area, but...
Yeah, through the chair, yes, they chose the areas. I'm not sure on what basis or what criteria, but I think they may have already had some involvement in those areas in the lead up to this. So we had no say in what areas they might have proposed, but okay. They have come and said that they wished a part of this to be in Newry and asked for our support.
Okay, thanks, Chair.
Okay, that's proposed by Councillor Lee Sergener and seconded by Councillor McAteer. Okay, and we're now on to item 12, leisure public holidays and staff training arrangements. And Sinéad, I believe that's yourself.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Members will be aware we take an annual report for the leisure public holiday and staff training arrangements. As per Appendix 1 of the report, it outlines the details for 22-23. And as per the recommendations in the report, we're seeking approval as per Appendix 1. Happy to take any questions, Chair.
Okay, Councillor Sharvin.
Yeah, Chair. I didn't go into full deep research mode of comparing it to the previous year and, you know, going line by line and seeing if there is any significant difference. But I suppose that's why I'm going to ask the officers, is there any increase in the days that any of the facilities will be closed or reduced hours would be experienced across any of the sites?
Thank you, Chair. They're consistent with the previous year, other than the Jubilee year. Yeah. Obviously, last year we had the Jubilee, and so that's an addition. But no, it's consistent with previous year's public holidays.
Okay, thank you, Paul. And Councillor McAteer, question?
Yeah, and really, yes, it was just around just the principle of some of those early reduced hours. You know, the like of the May bank holidays, for example, if you go outside the Christmas, maybe an Easter pattern, well, my experience would be that, yes, people are, a lot of them are I suppose, homebound, there's less interest in going out for long hours. But you get into those other, you know, like the May bank holidays, more into that, I suppose, out time of year, and 13th of July, for example, you know, and coming up the Monday, the 28th of August, you know, there's still a lot of people around wanting to take part in as many activities as possible. It's just that time of year. And I would have thought we should have made an effort there to have fuller opening hours.
Chair will answer this one. And this comes up every year that we bring this report. And the reality is that we do find that around public holiday periods, they don't always come to our leisure centres. Generally, families sometimes we don't have huge usage during those public times. Sometimes it's dependent on the weather, but we do tend to find that a lot of people tend to, if they are staying close to home, if you like, they tend to want to go and do something different that they haven't done before. So in our experience, the usage during those particular public holidays isn't high, and that's why the recommendation for the reduced hours is what it is.
Is that based on the lack of, you know, complaints, or what is it based on?
No, it's based on numbers attending.
But if you're closed, how would you determine that?
I suppose from previous years when we have been open. Do you know what I mean? But even when we are open, we don't get high usage during those periods.
But which period? You talk about all those periods? Or no, during the 70s? It would have struck me as, yes, you know, Christmas, Easter would be less usage, potentially, just given the nature of people's habits around there. But further on into the year, just wonder what was the basis on can you evidence that?
Yeah, well, I can potentially bring something to you outside of this committee to discuss it if you like.
Yep.
The detail.
Yeah, appreciate that.
Okay, thank you, Councillor McAteer. And Councillor McKay, Harold, come on ahead.
Thanks, Chair. In relation to, obviously, I'm going to be parochial here again. I'm sure some have read what has gone into some of the local papers. Where we have only 4 hours opening in Kilkeel in our leisure centre swimming pool. What's the position there, you know, with saying, is that going to reduce those times again? I couldn't really afford to reduce much more. Thank you.
I'm not sure whether that's relating to where we are, Paul, but do you want to?
Councillor McKee, I think you're referring to just general operations, are you, rather than public holiday periods and staff training? I'm happy to come back and have that discussion separately.
Okay.
That's correct, if I've picked you up correct.
Yep, no problem.
Okay, so Councillor McKee, you're happy enough then for Paul to follow up with you in regards to that?
Do well, thanks, yes.
Okay, no problem, thank you now. Proposers and seconder, please, for item 12. Okay, I'm happy to propose. Just need a seconder. The pressure is. There we go. Thank you, Councillor McAvoy. Seconded. Okay. We're now going into a closed session. And I'm just going to read out before I request a proposal and seconder for a closed session. Item 13 to 15 are deemed to be exempt under paragraph 3 of part 1, schedule 6 of the Local Government Act, Northern Ireland, 2014. Information relating to financial or business affairs of any particular person, including the council holding that information, and the public may, by resolution, be excluded during this item of business. So I'm looking for a proposer and seconder. And where am I? Councillor Sharvin and Councillor Casey has proposed. Thank you very much. Okay, so I'll just wait. Okay, thank you. Okay, the following was agreed whilst in closed session. Item 13, request for approval and funding for a carbon offsetting feasibility study. It was agreed on the proposal of Councillor Lee Sergener, seconded by Councillor Sharvin, to approve Council to contribute to funding the project as outlined within the officer's report. Item 14, Mullabond Community Centre, termination of lease. It was agreed on the proposal of Councillor McAvoy and seconded by Councillor Casey for Council to proceed to terminate the lease for Mullabond Community Centre. Item 15, Ballinahinch Community Centre refurbishment. It was agreed on the proposal of Councillor Lee Sergener, seconded by Councillor Sharvin, to increase the capital budget required as outlined within the officer's report for completion of maintenance and repair work as per condition survey carried out by AECOM Infrastructure and Environment UK Limited in July 2022, Appendix 1. Replacement of current PVC coated corrugated sheet metal covering at estimated cost. Carry out both necessary and desirable work at an estimated consultant fees. And that is us on that one. Thank you very much. Okay. We have item 16, community engagement, and it is for noting neighbourhood renewal. Just for noting then. I just need a proposer and seconder for item 16.
Chairperson, I've been waiting to talk on point 18 since the start of the meeting. Thank you. I'm pleased to see point 18, and we do need to put our best foot forward to secure funding.
Councillor Enright, sorry, can you just hold 2 seconds just to get a proposal and the seconder, and I'll bring you in straight away. Thank you, Councillor Casey. I'm just looking for a seconder. Thank you, Councillor Sharvin. Okay. Okay, I'm just going to bring for 16, 17, 18 and 19. I know, Councillor Enright, you're wanting to speak in 18. And just leave the proposals for that. I'll propose that for that. Yeah, okay, so we go ahead with that. Councillor McAteer, you have a question first there, is that correct?
Yes, for 18.
Go ahead.
You okay?
Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it is just, I know it's only for noting, but when I have you heard here what I say, it'll make sense. Regarding the greenways and safe walking routes, active travel work, I has attempted to get Milltown Street in Burn onto the active travel scheme, right? And this was on the advice of DFI. So I liaised with Connor Mallon, and Connor advised DFI of my request. And they subsequently then come back to him and said that they had hoped, James Kelly, the DFA manager, that he hoped that his staff member, Stephen Fullerton, would arrange a meeting with Owen or Alan, regarding this and others in the area. So I just thought it's very important this, because this particular main thoroughfare, or main street in the Bourne area, was part of the Sustrans Active School, Active Walking to School program, and was highlighted there as quite a dangerous route for school children and, you know, locals actually who could use it as a circuit to walking. So we wanted it included in that, because DFI suggested it was the best vehicle by which they could potentially appropriate funding, given the nature of it. Now, there are some, advice within the guidance that precludes any development of a footpath. Now, but there's quite a lot of, this is just very information, there's quite a lot of the 95% of the Milton Street area is prepared for a footpath, or the instatement of a footpath, without actually creating a new sort of 2 metre wide or a metre and a half wide thing. So just to make the aware of that. But it's just to ensure that that actually is happening. And I would like to maybe arrange a meeting just for clarification purposes, because DFI seemed to, in 1 minute, they seemed to point me in a direction that they would be looking after it. And then the second minute, then they're pointing us towards council funding via them. So it's just to bring that to the attention of yourself, Owen.
Sorry, are you looking, Councillor McAteer?
Well, I'm just looking this included, but I just want discussion on it at some stage or other.
Okay, go ahead.
Thanks, Chair. Yeah, we have actually started meeting with DFA on a bi-monthly basis, and it's been very, very productive engagement. They are very happy to use our active travel master plan as part of their rationale for any works. So there are, as I say, the next meeting is due quite shortly. So it was Stephen Fullerton, James Kelly was at the first meeting. So they're very keen to work with us compared to the difficulties that would have been a few years ago. So that has been very positive. I can't remember if that was on. We had highlighted certain ones in each DEA for them to as priorities, but they have indicated they are happy to use our active travel master plan, as I say, as part of their rationale and business case for any work, but that they wouldn't be looking for finance from us, but it would be within their own budgets, but they would use it as a rationale.
Yeah. And I see the active travel section actually is 100% funded by them, while the greenways are looking 50% of council, isn't that right?
Yes, in this current, and if I could just say, the reason we selected the ones that we did in this case was because we had very short notice. They wrote to us at the start of July, and we had to respond by the 29th of July, so we had no opportunity to get additional council approval. The list that was there did have approval from ERT committee and council back in September last year, so that's why we reverted to that. Yeah, the 100% funding is for this softer measures that we can do ourselves, and hopefully, you know, it's to do with cycling, etc. And the other ones, we've put in the applications as requested by the date, and we have to wait and see what they come back with. They'll be for feasibility studies. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I would appreciate maybe a discussion with you on that, Owen, just to highlight and spell out exactly what the situation on the ground is. It is slightly confusion and complicated. Okay, thanks for that, Chair.
Okay, Councillor McAteer, thank you very much. Councillor Enright, sorry for delay, but come on ahead now.
Thanks, Chairperson. Referring to item 18, it's highlighted areas we're going to be applying to the department for support in terms of our long distance trails, greenways, links across the Newry Moreland and Down. And it's very important that they be practical, fundable, and over routes with widespread buy-in, you know. And the words that are used to describe the different routes aren't very clear. For instance, in the officer's report, it doesn't mention the Downpatrick Cumber route, which is normally called the Coyle River extension to Delamont and Killilave, supporting the Ulster Way and Columban Ways, or the Inch Abbey extension. But it is mentioned in the detailed report, whereas, say, in the officer's report, it does mention the Ballydugan and Dundrum Newcastle part of the Ulster Way, Columban Way and St. Patrick's Way. All three routes use that section in the officer's report, but it doesn't mention it in the detailed report. And then when you turn to the detailed report, there are a number of key missings, which I think need to be said if we are to enhance our ability to get funding. For instance, the Carlingford Lough Greenway, we do need to mention there some way connectivity to Warren Point and particularly Ross Trevor. The Downpatrick to Arglass to Newcastle route, I mean, we need to specifically mention there following the route of the Lick Cale Way, which council maintains and has funded for many years. There were other proposals that we would buy a large amount of private land rather than use the public land available on the Lick Cale Way, which wouldn't really be practical. The Downpatrick to Cumber Greenway, I'm glad to see that. But it does, that is actually the Coyle River extension. And it's also the Columban Way, which I believe our council is supporting, the Columban Way linking Cumber to Killyleagh to Downpatrick to Dundrum, Newry, Ross, Trevor, Newry, etc. You know, we need to be more specific about what we're saying there, you know. So the second one there on the detail list needs to say the Lick Cale Way. The third one needs to say the Columban Way. The Mourne Coastal Greenway, I don't know much about that, so I'm not going to comment. The Newry to Warren Point route is very important, but we need to mention Ross Trevor, because Ross Trevor is like the gap up in Dundrum and on the coastal path. It's used by all three main routes, the St. Patrick's Way, the Ulster Way and the Columban Way. So having that link from Ross Trevor down from the Mourne's Way to Warren Point and hence to Newry would be very important, in the same way having the Dundrum Coastal Park linked to the other walk proposed here up to Downpatrick. And Ballyroney to Newcastle, I'm not sure what they mean there. Are they talking about converting the Mourne's Way, which is part of the Ulster Way? I just think the wording here is very loose, and the detailed document and the officer's covering document are different from each other. And they don't include each other. Does that make sense?
I acknowledge what you're saying there. I'm just going to hand you over there, just as a point of.
Thanks, Chair. Councillor Enright, on what's called Annex A, that was actually, that's the letter that DFA sent us. We didn't put those in there. That was as an example. We didn't write those in. So it's what are in the report is what we have included in the letters to DFA. The master plan is a 10-year program that is very aspirational, very ambitious. So all the things you've mentioned are potentially part of it. But I say at the moment, it is only the projects that what we have written to DFA about are the projects that's outlined in the report. There's seven of them, plus the cycle parking and pop-up cycle stations.
Yes, but Chair, could I just highlight the fact that many of the bits referenced both in the officer's report and the letter from the department are actually talking about the St. Patrick's Way, the Columban Way and the Ulster Way. And we've managed to have this correspondence with the department without mentioning those three key routes, we need to say them.
Which is acknowledging that concern, right? But obviously, if you wish, by all means, if you want to have a correspondence with Owen in regards to that and getting that changed aspect of that.
You need to specifically recognise the recognised international routes, because the main gaps we have are in those, you know?
Yeah, and I think that's something, obviously, you can have a chat with Owen, as I say, with Owen in that aspect of it online as such. But it is acknowledged what you're saying. I think really there's, as Owen has said, that those names as such weren't put on that. By ourselves. So I am going to move on, Councillor Enright, and just bring one last person. Go ahead, sorry.
Just to accept the fact that we do insert the international routes that are in our area and as part of this proposal.
With all due respect, you're not a member of the committee, so it is something, as I said, it's something to bring you in, Councillor Enright, but look, it's acknowledged what you're saying. And thank you very much. Councillor Andrews, last question.
Yes, I'll be brief. Just more or less, I do welcome the paper, and especially with the evolution of staycation, you know, and it's good to see a programme and a lot of projects being rolled out to the district, and hopefully as these bear fruition, that we'll be able to attract more visitors into our district and all. In relation to the Ballinahitch to Montalto Blueway, I do welcome it. I know part of the master plan and everything, you know, they outlined a series of walks about Ballinahitch, and I'm just wondering, would it be possible to include Beedham's Lane in that walking route, if at all possible? But again, I endorse everything else in the report.
Councillor Andrews, again, it's the same, Councillor Enright as well. I mean, there's not a problem in that aspect of it, but it is something if you wish to have a chat with.
That's dead on.
The DEA, if you bring it through that way, yeah, from what I've been told, if you go through that way, Terry, you'll get a better.
No problem.
Okay.
Thanks
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Owen.
Okay, I don't think that is anything else. That is it. I don't need a proposal or anything else to go home.
No.
Folks, thank you very much. Safe journey for folks who are here, and have a pleasant evening for the rest of the folks. Take care now.